Hi and welcome to the latest Ancient Egypt news from the early days of March. A new natural technique for cleaning and preserving priceless ancient Egyptian papyri that are in danger from bacteria and fungi has been discovered by researchers. This new technique employs wasabi, yes, the pungent green paste accompanying your sushi, to combat the relentless threat of fungal damage on these precious historical documents. The study, led by Hanadi Sada and her team, investigated the effectiveness of wasabi vapors in eliminating microbial growth that deteriorates papyrus artifacts, which have historical and cultural significance, particularly in ancient Egypt. The techniques used up until now to clean and sanitize the papyri presented certain difficulties. Chemicals were employed that, while effectively eliminating microbes, sometimes damaged the papyrus fiber or altered the pigments of the illustrations. Other physical methods, such as ultraviolet rays or heat, did not always ensure the complete removal of biological agents without causing collateral damage. This is where wasabi comes into play. The Grand Egyptian Museum's team has devised a green solution that promises to protect these ancient texts without jeopardizing their integrity by generating vapors from wasabi paste. Scientists simulated microbiological contamination on samples of papyrus with different pigments, including red, yellow, and blue. In this experiment, treatment with wasabi vapors for 72 hours eradicated microbial growth in both painted and non-painted papyrus samples with 100% inhibition efficiency. Notably, the treatment improved the tensile strength of the papyri by 26% without causing any noticeable change to the color or surface morphology of the artifacts. Furthermore, FTIR and EDX analyses indicated negligible chemical changes, underscoring the non-invasive nature of the treatment. In addition to providing a safer, more environmentally friendly option for preserving archaeological papyri, this cutting-edge technique guarantees the longevity of these priceless relics without sacrificing their integrity. The results of the study point to a dramatic shift in favor of environmentally friendly conservation techniques and highlight the significance of sustainable methods for the preservation of cultural heritage and archaeology. The results of this study could have an impact on preservation methods for a variety of organic archaeological materials, going beyond papyri conservation. The archaeological community is keeping a close eye on the research in the hopes that this environmentally friendly solution will usher in a new era for the preservation of our world's cultural heritage. The Christie's New York Auction House is displaying a selection of antiques from across the ancient Mediterranean, including pieces from ancient Greek, Roman, and Egyptian cultures, ranging from the 3rd millennium BCE to the 3rd century CE on April the 9th. Topping the auction is the Egyptian green schist votive cubit rod of Meri Ptah, dating to circa 1330-1250 BCE, once in the collection of Edouard Louis Joseph, 1st Baron Empain. Also presented is a group of ancient and European engraved gems from the collection of Corinne Bronfman of Washington, D.C., the official website reads. This important selection of over 50 pieces feature rediscoveries of gems from the famed Arundel, Marlborough, Story Maskelyne, and Merton Schaffhausen collections, it added. Other highlights include a three-quarter life-size Roman marble statue of a goddess, a Roman marble altar, and a Roman bronze Venus, formerly in the collection of Louis de Klerk, the auction blurb concluded. A 26th dynasty sarcophagus uncovered at a university hospital construction site in the delta town of Banha is on its way to being restored at the Kal Yubiya archaeological site after undergoing rescue excavation, Egypt's Supreme Council of Antiquities, the SCA, announced recently. The sarcophagus was unearthed during rescue excavations at the site designated for constructing the Banha University Hospital in Kal Yubiya Governorate. The SCA initiated the relocation process of the quartzite sarcophagus, which dates back to the reign of King Psamtik I from the 26th dynasty. Dr. Mustafa Waziri, Secretary General of the SCA, elaborated on the meticulous scientific protocols followed in lifting and transporting it. A specialized team from the SCA and the Grand Egyptian Museum conducted preliminary restoration tasks at the excavation site, including mechanical cleaning and reinforcing of the sarcophagus and its lid. Subsequently, it will be transferred to the Kal Yubiya Antiquities area for thorough maintenance and restoration procedures. The sarcophagus weighs approximately 62 tons, including its lid. Initial studies suggest that it belonged to the overseer of the scribes during the reign of King Psamtik I of the 26th dynasty, as evidenced by an engraved relief portraying that king beneath the lid. The SCA remains committed to ongoing rescue excavations until all activities at the site are concluded, ensuring the absence of any additional archaeological artifacts, Waziri said. An open post on social media appealing to Egyptologists and other interested parties, drawing attention to the continued deterioration of the plaster on the walls of QV66, better known as the Tomb of Nefertari, wife to Ramesses the Great, has resulted in the tomb being closed to the public for the foreseeable future. Nefertari was the most beloved wife of King Ramesses II and played an active role in foreign politics. Her ancestry is unknown. Nefertari did not carry the title Daughter of a King, which suggests that she was probably not from the main royal line. Because of the chronology, it seems quite unlikely that she was King Ai's daughter. Perhaps she was Ai's granddaughter. Other scholars emphasize that both Ramesses II's royal wives, Isis Nofret and Nefertari, had a non-royal background. Nefertari married Ramesses when he was crown prince, during the reign of his father, Seti I. The age at which Ramesses II succeeded to the throne of Egypt is uncertain, possibly around his 25th year. Nefertari was then presumably the same age as her husband, or slightly younger. She gave birth to four sons, Amenherkepeshef, Parawenemef, Meri-Ra, and Meri-Atum, and four daughters, Bakhetmut, Nefertari, Merit-Amun, and Henutawi. Within the succession line, Nefertari's sons were always preferred to Queen Isis Nofret, although in the end, the crown went to Merimptah, a son of Queen Isis Nofret. Queen Nefertari, as attested by reliefs, attended the opening ceremony of the rock-cut temples of Abu Simbel in the year 24 of Ramesses II's reign. After that event, she disappeared. She was absent at the said festival of Ramesses II's 30th regnal year. She probably died around his 25th year of reign. As reconstructed from historical records, Nefertari probably reached an age of about 40 to 50 years. Hopefully, restoration can be done on the tomb and we can once more visit and marvel at one of the most beautiful places in Egypt. And that's it for this week. This news podcast is brought to you by Ted Laux and GNT Tours. For information on our November tour, please visit our website at gnttours.co.za. There's a link in the show notes. Follow us on Facebook, X, Threads, or Instagram. Thanks for listening to this episode. Please feel free to comment and share. Until next time, thanks again. Cheers. Bye-bye.